as we prepare our hearts to this morning to come to the table of the Lord, I think there's areas that we slip back into, looking to ourselves, to our own reasoning, rather than really looking to what God says and partake of what He has given to us to partake of. Looking at the symbols that we are going to take to remember the Lord, the bread which represented His body, which was broken for us, given for us, the blood that was shed, which is the new covenant. And yet we seem to creep into all of these other areas. So I would like to just look at a number of passages that gives us a thrust of light of what God has really done. And I think that if you will search it out, you'll find out that this life that God has given us is being lived out by faith and the power of the Holy Spirit and the ability that God gives. If we drop into this area of looking at ourselves, then I wonder if we've really tasted of this new life that He's given to us. We spoke a number of weeks back, if you remember, as far as dying to self. And this is an area that I know we're constantly seem to be brought back to, that we have to die to self. But as you read the epistles and the instructions of the Apostle Paul and of John, of James, I don't sense that thrust. Now, if you do, well, we'd like to hear from you this morning. But you don't sense that thrust. The thrust is, if we are partakers of Him, there's a brand new working that is going on. If we have been partakers of the life of God, if we have experienced what God has for us, and of course it's available to each one that will come. This is not something that's just for a select few. Let me just read a few verses here from Colossians 1, chapter 3. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. I know we pass over that. It's a nice verse. But, oh, Lord, open that up to our hearts today. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with Him in glory. Mortify therefore your members. Doesn't say mortify self or mortify your body. Mortify your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, inordinate affections, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God came upon the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometimes when you lived in them. This is fast. I mean, we've got to realize where we came from and not try to just tag Jesus onto our life. He has become our life. But now you also put off these. And it goes on to tell you some other areas like anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. You have, half tense. Very important that we see what is happening. I'm not putting it off, I have put it off. Put off the old man. That's all that we were in Adam. And it goes on to say, and have put on the new man. There's one new man in Christ Jesus. We have put that on. These areas must become workable and real in our lives. If our hearts, our whole inner working, does not focus on what God has done and not upon God Himself, then other things will creep in, draw us away, get our attention. Put on the new man which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian or Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy. I think there's an element there that we lack mercy. Don't you think? We're, if I might say so, too many times, we're those that sit in the judge's seat and we want justice. We have to give mercy to where God gives mercy. But mercy is very important, because if you think that you're not going to give mercy, well, then you're not going to receive mercy either. It tells us that very clearly. Holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. I mean, this is a whole attitude now that we're moving in. He speaks, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. God has done a work. We have received a new life, and we should be living by it. That doesn't mean that we do not have a choice. God does not remove our choice. Oh, hallelujah. We don't have to continue to choose every day. I made one choice, and I believe that God has given us one choice. Now, we can exercise that choice and enter into what God has given to us, and that is not just a mental assent or some kind of a mental gymnastic. That is entering in by faith and partaking of the nature of God. It makes a big difference how we look at these things. It goes on in the 13th verse, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have any quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Very important that we keep our account with others short. A short account. You know what that means? I don't care what people do to us or what happens, we must keep a short account. In other words, we must forgive, just like it says here. Forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your heart. This is actually entering into an experience. And as you go on through each day, you'll find out that it's very important that you have the peace of God reigning there. My peace I give unto you. This is what he said. That's real. This is not just theory. This is not something, it's just some kind of a mental thing that you try to think up. He said, my peace I give unto you. We need to know that peace. That peace that passes all understanding. That the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name or in the nature. The name speaks to who God is. So we're going to do all in the name of the Lord. We're going to do it in the nature. It's not something we're trying to feel. This is something that we have been partakers of. I think sometimes we find ourselves living in this realm that we have to feel something. In other words, when you move into the realm of faith, it's not in feelings. It's not in what you see. As far as the natural seeing is concerned, it's what God has revealed to you, and you have entered into it by faith. This will make a big difference in our walk each day, in our expression one with another, if we would only be partakers of this. It's so important, because as we come to remember the Lord, these are the elements that we're talking about. These are the elements that God has made and opened up to us that we can enter into. I think even at that, as we look at these elements and we're doing this in remembrance of Him, it's too far away from us. It's not a reality. And when you partake of that cup, when you partake of that bread, in other words, you died with Him. That cup represents a new covenant. I need to know about that. I need to know what that new covenant is. How am I going to know about it? Well, I'll tell you how Jesus said you'll know about it. If you do my will, you'll know my peace. You'll know my doctrine. Right? We're looking to know certain things, then do such certain things. How am I going to know what to do? God has given us a new life, and we need to live in it. Let me, before I go back to the Gospel of John, I want to go to Romans in the 8th chapter very briefly, because we need to see this. We know the verse. We can recite it by heart. I think we need to know the actual working out of this. Listen to it very carefully. Meditate upon, mark it. Ask God to show it to you. Break it upon your heart. Flood you with light from above. In other words, that's because when the Holy Spirit enlightens you, it brings understanding to your very heart, to where you now have the ability to move. Now let's look at it. Chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. That means that are in union with Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh. We're not struggling. We're walking. Faith walks. It doesn't struggle. Now, I'm not taking away, and don't think that I'm taking away, that there are those that slip back into a natural. They're back and forth. They're struggling. They're looking to their mind. They're trying to figure out things with their mind. They're struggling. So I'm not just trying to eliminate this. There are those that are trying to die to self because they haven't died with Christ. They haven't died to the old man. They're trying. And that is real. I know that's real. But it doesn't have to be. I don't read where these things are addressed in the letters that are written to those that are going through difficulties. It doesn't say anything about you need to die to self. And it tells you very clearly. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Here's the secret. In other words, next verse, listen to it. For the law, in other words, there's a brand new law now. I lived in the law of death. I lived in the law of sin. I was controlled by it before I came to Christ. But now listen. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. What the law could not do in that it was weak to the flesh, God sent His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now let's go back to the Gospel of John. Chapter 6. These are some of the things that we're going to be remembering as we come to the Lord, as we come to the table of the Lord. They need to be real in our lives. In other words, we do no more than have a symbolism of certain things. We don't have a substance of it. Like these symbols represent substance. It must be real. In other words, we're no more than a bunch of hypocrites. We're saying certain things, but we're not living the reality of it. But God has given us the power to be what He said we should be. Now let me read these verses. Starting in the 6th chapter of St. John. And I wish you'd take this John down. I mean, you can read it all the way through. It will. And I don't mean one time. But I mean prayerfully ask God to break the revelation of Himself upon your heart. Now, you may be satisfied to go on from week to week. I'm not. I'm not even satisfied for you to go on from week to week. And it's not that I am sitting in the judge's seat in any way, but I'm zealous that you can know God. I'm zealous that I might know God. I mean, to the fullest extent. Where no longer do I hear all of these things about, well, I've got to die to self. I've got to put self to death. Should have been done a long time ago when you came to Jesus. What have you been doing? We try to live a double life. We look down on this area where people talk about just packing Jesus onto their life. Jesus has become my life. Jesus has become your life. If that's not a reality, then remembrance has no meaning. Let me read these verses. 35th verse, beginning. I am the bread of life. That's what Jesus said unto them. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. Come on. See what God says to you. What does it mean to come to Him? He that cometh to me shall never hunger. Somebody's telling me, find ourselves, well, I'm hungry. He said, if you're hungry, come to Him, and you'll never hunger. He that believeth in me shall never thirst. Come on. There's going to be a constant flowing of life into us. What is life? Knowing Him. How do I live? I live by Him. We'll find that as we read on here in these particular verses. Let me drop down to the 45th verse. It is written in the prophets, they shall be all taught of God. Of course, if you read over there what God is going to do by the Spirit, you're going to also read over in Hebrews, I think in the 8th chapter, it says, they all shall know me. And then we go on into the 10th verse, 10th chapter, which speaks of the new covenant, the same it does in the 8th verse. And we see the same thing, this new and living way. All shall know me. When you come into this life, all shall know me. They shall all be taught of God. How does God teach us? By His Spirit. I will send my Spirit and He will teach you. He will lead you into all truth. The emphasis now is bringing us back into the relationship that God has opened up to us. If you're thirsty, if you're hungry, where do you go? To Him. How do I go to Him? By the Spirit. You're walking in the Spirit. You're living in the Spirit. Don't look at your reasoning, because your natural reasoning, you don't even know the things of God, so you still try to figure that out. This is the area of faith. This is the area of coming in, because faith is the only thing that overcomes the world. Faith is the only thing that brings us into the reality of His life. Verse, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may not hear of and not die. Eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread. Are we partakers of Him? I'm not talking about the symbols now and remember. Are we partakers of Him? Because it goes on to say here in the 63rd verse, and the Spirit that quickeneth the flesh profiteth nothing, but the words that I speak unto you, they are Spirit and they are life. Now, beloved, let me just speak clear to you. This is not taking the Scriptures and reading them. This is in your relationship with God and God speaking to you. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. I've said this time and time again, and I'm sure that it's still not clear to us, and that's why I'm saying it again this morning. You can go back and you can search the place where people move by faith. In every situation, every case, They heard God speak to them. They acted. Peter acted when he was in the boat and got out on the water because Jesus Christ had spoken to him. Right on down the line, Abraham, Moses, each one, God had spoken to them. And God, this relationship that he has brought us into is that he can speak to us. I think sometimes we're caught up with the error that, well, we want to talk to God all the time. But I have found, and I think many of you here have found, that the most precious place is waiting on God to speak to you. Right? He will speak to us. Of course, many of us, we go to that place and we're trying to listen to God to speak in our ears with some still small voice. And it is a still small voice, but it's the Spirit that speaks to our hearts. I know when God speaks. And it's not just in my natural hearing. God has quickened our spiritual ears to where we can hear Him. Our spiritual eyes where we can see the working of God. Now, 57. Very important verse. Jesus' admonition to His disciples at that time. As the living Father has sent me, I live by the Father. So he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. If we're partakers of what he has done, we're going to live by him. Now he said, I live by the Father. And we are to live by the Son. In the power and ability of the Holy Spirit. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live. How long? Forever. We pass from death unto life. But I thought I had to die to self. That's what happened when you received Christ. I have been crucified with Him. That's it. I'm not saying that you can't be struggling with this area, but the only reason is that you're not partaking. You're not eating of the bread, which is His body. You're not partaking of His blood, the reality of what the new covenant is. Sometimes we find ourselves being a realist. We like to look at these things, well, I've got to drink His blood and eat His flesh. But listen to what He says. My words are life. So we need to rightly divide this word of truth if we're going to go on in to see the fullness of what it means. 51st verse, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever, and the bread that I give to him is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. If there's anything that's going to be real, it's going to be what God has done in Christ Jesus. Everything else that you see is going to pass away. Now, do you believe that or not? The things that you do not see are the things which are everlasting. It tells us that very clearly in the Scriptures. Now, if all we're doing is listening according to our natural understanding, we're going to miss God. Thousands when He walked upon earth. God in the flesh walked amongst men. How many really saw who He was? Very few. They partook of the healing that He brought. They partook of the multiplication of food that He gave. I mean, these are tremendous miracles. He took the fish and broke it up, took the bread and a few loaves and broke it up and fed 5,000. 5,000 partook of it. How many saw who He was? How many really partook of that word? How many of them actually stepped out and started to live by the word that He gave? Because I am convinced as you read the Scriptures and as you partake of the reality of what we're talking about this morning, that this is not a trying to live, because He has given us the ability. I live now by the faith. I live by the power that He brings. If you're struggling, something's wrong with your relationship with God. You're not eating from the manna. You're not drinking from the blood. You don't have to continue, He says, to struggle in this area. Because He said, if you do this, you're not going to thirst again. You're not going to hunger again. You say, well, I should be hungry every day. Are you going to go by your concepts or what he said? Eat today. It says, what he's actually saying here, if you continue to eat, you're not going to be hungry. Come on. If you continue to drink, you're not going to be thirsty. All you have to do is just realize what Jesus is saying, and you'll see that everything that is happening around about us and the struggles that ones are going through is not reality in the spiritual realm. It's reality in their lives. And I, as I've already said, I'm not taking away that these may be happening. All I'm saying is this is what God has provided for us. It's a life of victory. It's a life of joy. I'm not dependent upon my situation to have joy. I'm not dependent on my situation to have peace. I have His peace. It's so important that we, you know, really benefit from this working of God in what He is doing for us. Let's go back to chapter 11 of John. These are all verses that are very familiar to all of us. We can either pass them off, we can hear them, let them go, or we can actually stop and say, Lord, open up my understanding. Now, this morning, each one of you know whether you're struggling with self, so to speak. God has never called you. This is not the life that He gave you, to struggle with self. You're not here to constantly die to self. I want you to listen to the words of Jesus now as He spoke to Mary and Martha over there in the 11th chapter when they were dealing with their brother which had died and been dead, I think, for, what was it, 4 days. Jesus came to reveal certain things, and I don't know whether we fully grasp the words that He spoke or not. Listen to what they are in the 25th verse of the 11th chapter. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection. But Lord, if you'd have been here, I know that He wouldn't have died. He said, I am the resurrection. He's trying to show them something. But He doesn't stop there. He says, and the life. Jesus said, I am the life. I am the resurrection. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth, that's a continuing, and believeth, continuing, in me, shall never die. Believest thou this? Yea, Lord. But she didn't. She was still blinded to the reality of what Jesus was trying to reveal to her. And I think that many times we find ourselves. And you have to come back to let the Word wash us. And we're not just talking about reading this Word and trying to wash with the dead letter. I must be washed with the living Word. The reality of Jesus speaking to my heart. And sometimes we have to go back to these verses that we know by heart. We've gone over them for years. And finally, God can wash us. And let us see what they really mean. I am the resurrection. I am the life. So many things that we could look at here and go over again and again and again. Can't pass some of these by without looking at them, because it's most important to our relationship with God. This word about that, if we're going to worry about something, this word about our relationship with God. Number one. Sometimes we're caught up with worrying about everything else but our relationship with God. If we get that right, I'll guarantee you get everything else right. Because if you desire and hunger God with all of your heart, He said you're going to be filled, you're not going to thirst again. Why? Because you're continuing to drink, you're continuing to partake of Him. Here's what Jesus said to His disciples. He says the same thing to us today. This is not an instance where He speaks to them and doesn't speak to us. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you. Yet a little while and the world seeth me no more, but you see me, because I live, you shall live also. That means I'm going to be spiritually alive. I'm going to live. Jesus said, I am the life. See, we're defining everything according to what we've been taught, what we think is life. Life is Christ. Glory. Hallelujah. God's got to completely reprogram it. How does He do this? By the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. A new life. A new law. I'm not no longer living by the law of sin and death. I'm living by a new law, the law of life. Big difference. We must wait upon Him. To let this word become life to us. In other words, we become those that are kind of metaphysical in this respect, that we take certain things and we repeat them over again and think they're reality. They're not reality until they are ours. Jesus said, I am the life. Father, that must be real in each one of our lives. When that becomes a reality, the third chapter of Colossians will become more of a reality of what He actually has done, because it's going to be past tense. I have put off. I have put on. Have. In other words, my initial experience. I don't have to go back and continue to put on. I have put on Christ. Beloved, is that what it says? How about you, brother? A reading of it. Is that what it says?
Yes.
Because I'm not trying to deceive us by just repeating these things, but if these are a reality, then we need to take and enter into them. At that day, when you're alive, you're going to know some things. If you don't know these things, then you're not alive yet. But these are the things that you should know. At that day you shall know that I am in my Father. In other words, He's in union. They're one together in what God is doing. Then He goes on. And ye in me. You're going to know that on that day. You're going to know that. And I in you. Now you may think these things are very small until you start to wonder why you don't have the strength or the power, because you don't realize who you are. And you're nobody separate from Him, because you can do nothing separate from Him. And beloved, all I'm talking about this morning is what it really means when we come to the table of the Lord and we remember Him. At that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, ye in me, and I in you. If we're going to live by the Word, it's not going to be because we memorize the Scriptures. It's because we have the living Word dwelling within us. And you can try it. And I know that there's millions of people who've tried it, and they're not living a victorious life. The majority of these groups that I'm talking about today are still trying to die to self. They're still trying to live above sin. But when the Holy Spirit comes and places within you a new law, a law of life, it frees you from sin. You're not trying to live above sin. You're living the life that He gave you. You're living in union with Him. It's like Jesus said, I live by the Father. In other words, we live by the Son in the power of the Holy Spirit. This is what makes this real to us, to where we can move on. Let me just read a few more verses from 1 John. I would encourage you to go to 1 John and really read through there again and let God. And listen, I'm not just, when you read this, God, the Spirit must make these areas alive. If they're not alive and they're not put into your life where you can experience them, something's wrong. I know as I sought the Lord years and years ago, I was looking for the reality of what I had read that He had done in other lives. Now I want you to do that in my life. I can't be satisfied with reading what somebody else did. I want to know that. I can't be satisfied that you spoke to that brother or that sister. You must speak to me. And not because I'm demanding it from Him, because that's what He made provisions for. Where He can speak to us, He can lead us, He can guide us. What does that mean? Well, we must find that out. As we read over here in 1 John. Let me just show you some of the areas that I'm talking about. Verse 6. Whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. Whosoever continues to abide in union with Christ does not continue to sin. Now you've got to, because I know how it works. We say, well, I can't be perfect. Well, you can't be, but how about Jesus? Who do you have? Have you been partakers of Him? Have you eaten His body and drank His blood? I mean, have you been participating in what He has done before? Because that is the only thing that brings the victory into our expression and into our walk. As you go on to read over in the fifth chapter, he that believeth, that, this is a continuing, we must remember that. Because a lot of times we just say, well, I believe. He that continues to believe. So then this is a continuing tense, even in the English. Believeth means a continuing thing. You know that. Well, if we're going to be those that benefit from these here and realize what it says, then we're going to have to take and be thrown back, because these scriptures are going to throw you back into seeking God for Himself, face to face. Being still and knowing that He is God. He that believeth on me, he that believeth on the Son of God has a witness in himself. He that believeth not God has made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son. And this is the record, that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in the Son. He that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son has not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Tremendous areas. This is the life that God wants to give each one of us. It's His life. He's not going to give you a life separate from Him. It's a life that He gives in union with Him. Just like Jesus said, I live by the Father. If we're in the error of our mind, if we're struggling with concepts and still trying to die to self, something is wrong with our relationship. I'm not saying it's not possible. All you can do is read the Apostle Paul. You think this is a man that got up daily and died daily? Was he mindful of the old, or was he mindful of the new? When we've been set free from the old and made alive unto the new, when we have a whole new perspective by the Spirit of God, then we should be looking into what God has done. Now, the only thing I can say to you this morning to myself, if really I do His will, I will know His teaching. And if we are really hungering after Him, we will take the time before Him in prayer, that He can speak to us, that His words can become real to us, that these words may have life, they may be spirit and life, give us a place to move, to understand Him, rather than some of these other things that I know many. And beloved, I can't read, or can't, look at every book that you read. All I know is what I know about them. Probably the biggest percentage of the books today are giving you a self-effort type of salvation. I'm not trying to be critical, just trying to tell you. So if you're reading Christian books, it may sound good that you can do this, you can do this. But see, Jesus has done this. He has given me a new life. I'm not trying to do these things. Because if you enter into this area, you're going to enter into the realm of the flesh and what the flesh can do for God. You can't do anything for God. That's why He brings it all over into the realm of faith. It's so simple. We're the ones that complicate it. And if I might just take a little bit of that cobwebs away from our hearts and eyes this morning to realize that, man, we're not out here struggling. This is a positive response to a God that lives within us. That is, if you have asked Him to come in. And beloved, if He's promised, it's just like when I came to the Lord in this realm. Do you want to know the presence of God living in you? Do you want the Holy Spirit? Of course I do. That's what I came for. Well, just go down there. We'll be down there and pray with you in a minute. I can't wait. That's what I said in my heart. I can't wait. I went down to sit down. But when they got there, God had already done His work. God had already filled His vessel. And He will already fill your vessel when you get hungry. When you're convinced that that is His promise to you. And that's what I'm saying. When we know the reality of Romans 8, 1 and 2, we'll realize that there's a new law working now. We're not living by this old law that held us captive. I'm not trying to be religious. I'm not trying to be good. These things have been put away in death. The life that I now live, it's a life in response to God. Not a response to my reasoning of my mind. It's a must if we're going to know this life that He's given to us. Because this life is not a struggle. This life is not up one day and down the other. It's not a life in feelings. It's a life in the Spirit. Feelings may come, feelings may go. God doesn't take our feelings away when we enter into this new law of life. We still have feelings. We still have emotions. You're going to live by Him or live by the Spirit. He doesn't take your reasoning power away or your logic power that you learned in school. He doesn't take that away. You're going to live by it or you're going to live by Him. By every word that proceeded from the mouth of God. Not from the Scriptures, from the mouth of God. It's easier, beloved, for us to say, well, I'm reading the Word of God, than to hear God for yourself. But only as you hear God for yourself is there going to be a place of faith that you can move from. Now, beloved, all you have to do is search that out for yourself. To know that I'm not just speaking that, I'm not being critical of others. All I'm saying is, you find me one place where people move by faith that they didn't hear God for themselves. God spoke to them. Who spoke to Abraham? Who spoke to Moses? I wonder who spoke to Cain. Abel. They both heard. One moved one way and the other moved the other way. And God has spoken to us in His Son. You think He needs to speak again? No, He spoke one time when He gave His only begotten Son. He spoke. There's not another message of salvation. The cross. That's why Paul said, I don't know anything else except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's the place that He speaks to the world. If I be lifted up, He said, I will draw all men unto myself. When Jesus' words were. Now, all I'm saying this morning is we need to enter into the realities of what God is doing. Because only at this place, when you start to experience, are you going to know the flooding joy of God in your soul. Doesn't do no good just to study these principles unless you're partaking of them. Come on. And maybe you get tired of even hearing me talk about these areas. But as long as I'm here, I'm going to be telling you about it. And then when I'm gone, somebody else is going to be telling you about it. Glory. Because there is no other message. Jesus Christ is the message. And Him crucified. Hungry, come to Him. Thirsty, come to Him. Come on, be fair with that, what it says. Just like He said to the religious leaders, you search the Scriptures, in them you think you have life. You will not come to Me that I might give you life. We think that's for them. Oh, man, this has the whole thing. Come on. Even in the time of Jesus when He walked the earth, He says, they speak of Me and you will not come to Me that I might give you life. We need to go to Jesus. We need to eat of the bread if we're hungry. We need to thirst. If we're thirsty, then we need to drink. And if we continue to drink, we will not be thirsty. If we continue to eat, we will not be hungry. We will be satisfied. But the thing is, see, when we talk in this realm, tomorrow you say, well, I'm going to be hungry. Then eat some more. I'm going to be thirsty tomorrow. Drink some more. That's what it says. Continue to drink. Continue to eat. And then you'll not be hungry. And then you'll not be thirsty. Life is to know Him. But I know as long as these other areas, and I know that each one of us, these areas are there. They start to creep up. And unless we're living and partaking and we're satisfied with Him and knowing His teaching because He's speaking to our hearts, we will start to settle for some of these other things and start to wrestle with them, thoughts in our minds, desires in our flesh, dealt with back at Calvary. I'm not dying again. Let me tell you what Paul said. We can say, all say it, and should be able to say the same thing. I have been crucified with Christ. Dead man. But man, I got to struggle with self. Dead men, show me a dead man is struggling with self. Come on. Be truthful with me. Because all I'm doing is bidding for a place that you can know Him and all that He's done for each one of us. If we have died with Him, we're not struggling with self. We're not struggling with the desires of our flesh. We just don't let them manifest. If we're walking in the Spirit, that's the only way that we can overcome the lust of the flesh. And the lust of the mind, if we walk in the Spirit. You know what Galatians tells us? Okay, there's the way, if you want to do it. Because if you continue to struggle with it, it will finally get its hold on you. Hallelujah, we don't have to. Set free. just like Jesus said, and we sometimes sell it short, we kind of bring it down to a lesser place. He said, you shall know the truth, and you shall be separated. That is a reality. When you know the truth, when you know God, you're separated. And God, you don't have to get tangled up again. You just need to walk in faith. Walk in the power and ability that God gives you. No longer will you struggle in these areas. And I think that we'll have a greater working and fellowship as we come to the table of the Lord. I hope these few words this morning have encouraged us. And as we partake of these emblems, that we'll look to God and say, Lord, that we can know the reality. We can be partakers of this in reality. That not just be words and not just be something that we read over and over again. We do Sunday after Sunday, but we are experiencing you. I'm hearing you. I'm in fellowship with you. You say, what does it mean to fellowship? Well, the first thing it means that I'm willing to walk in Him. I'm willing to walk in all that He is. Because He's already given His whole self for each one of us and for the world. I don't have to ask Him to do it again. He has already accomplished that which He came to do. To break the chains of sin and to give us life. That life is in His Son. Oh, that we can enter into this and start to enjoy it in the fullness of what God has for us. Amen.